CliffCentral.com. Good morning, Friday. As you can hear, you're listening to the Gareth Cliff Show, and I'm Michael Flax with some P-Web.
Yes.
We start the show with a hypothesis.
Yes.
Gareth overslept. This is my hypothesis. There was a mad storm last night. Mm-hmm. Like, insane. It woke me up. My hypothesis is that it woke Gareth up, and that caused him to be really tired this morning, and he might have missed his alarm, but he's going to join us as soon as he wakes up. So yes. It's sort of like we're starting with the Flax Friday again, and the Flaxes are taking over the airwaves. If you haven't heard already, we've got Matt Flax on like 947. We've got Mike Flax at Cliff Central. My kids are likely to own the SABC as soon as they're born. We're just taking over all the airwaves in PUA.
I love it. It is the Flax takeover, and I'm here for it. How have you been, Flax?
Oh, I cannot complain. I feel like I'm glowing. I've recently moved into a new house. Mm-hmm. As you can see, my background's a bit more organized than usual.
Oh, yes. And
the only reason is because I haven't unpacked. But as soon as I unpack, we'll be back into chaos.
Oh, nice. Those are nice life problems. When did you move in?
We've lost a connection with some P-Wet. Now we're just down to plain Flax.
No, I'm back. Sorry. The internet connection. You're telling me when you moved in?
I moved in last week, Wednesday.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So like fresh. Let me tell you.
Yes.
You start getting used to new sounds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no longer by the highway. First night I slept here, I nearly slept through my alarm because there's no sound of these rushing cars in the morning. The dogs are different. Like you don't have two dogs on the left-hand side of your house. There's only like one small chihuahua my neighbor has. So I'm like not getting woken up by barks in the morning. They obviously leave work around about like 8:30. So like I'm not getting woken up by their car. It's like a whole different experience I'm getting used to. But let me tell you, I figured this out real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone has to agree with me on this. You don't buy a house. You buy someone else's problems. Every day. Yeah. From this light not working to this door not closing to this pool pump not working. It is ridiculous.
Oh, wow. And do you stay on your own? So is this like you being Mr. Independent? Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying my hardest. Let me tell you, last night I walked into a washing line and I got this big bump on my head. So staying on my own isn't working so well.
You know, so I was speaking to someone yesterday and she's also staying on her own for the first time. And she's like, there are days where she does not utter a single word, where it's just her thoughts and some food now and again. Is that the case for you at the moment, Flax?
I feel like I might get there further on in the line. There's just too much to be done at the moment that I'm constantly busy. Like I have to go to the shops all the time just to fill the fridge or like fill the pantry. Like I had nothing. You move in and you all of a sudden got a dishwasher and you need to go buy dishwasher tablets. And then this dishwasher takes like, it's like feeding a baby. There's dishwasher salts you have to put in. And then there's dishwasher tablets and there's dishwasher liquid. It's like constantly finding out what this dishwasher needs. And I haven't even moved into the washing machine. Then the washing machine needs this and needs that. And it's like, it's constant work. I feel like I'm like, this house owns me now. And I'm just an employee of this house. As soon as it starts crying and something doesn't work, I've got to jump up and fix it. Like yesterday, the curtain rail broke.
Hit
now
it.
I'm trying to figure out what pulley system to buy for the curtain rail.
You know what song comes to mind? Growing up.
One of my friends asked me where I'm living, which area I'm living. So I'm like, no, I'm in the hood now. I'm proper in the hood. And he's like, which hood? I was like, adulthood. Like every day is a constant issue.
Yeah, it's a you struggle. It's a you think. I was telling a friend that like I feel like my life revolves around running errands. Like every weekend, there's an errand that I need to run. There's something I need to get done, and it's important. If I don't do it, then yeah, havoc is going to just take place. Like I still need to pay for my disc, my car disc, and I haven't done that.
So, no, do that because roadblock silly season coming up.
Yes,
but do it online. What bank are you with?
I'm with Absa, not the greatest bank of all time. And
I don't know how you do it on Insta, but definitely just do it online. My bank, I literally fill out online and they deliver to me in like 2 weeks.
2 weeks? Do you know how long this thing is? I need it immediately. I need to go into the post office and get it immediately. It's, yay. So this past weekend I got stopped, right? And because I know how to just smile and act dumb, I was like, really? It's expired? I didn't know. Malooms, like I'm going to pay for it now. Please, just one chance. That thing's been expired for like 3 months. I know that.
Oh, you got to get on that. But like, get a constant calendar reminder or something. There's like so many places that do it for you even. There's like two things I hate. Okay. Driving with an expired license disc and an expired license. I panicked the other day when my passport expired. And that is, to get it renewed was an actual, it was a breeze once I passed the system. Now, let me tell you, our system to renew the passport does not work. But everything beyond the system somewhat works efficiently.
What? You lie. What do you mean it doesn't work?
Yeah, we need some.
So, because I remember when I got my passport, I did it online. It was so seamless. Within 2 weeks, I was done and I had gotten my passport. Now you're telling me that if I had to renew, that it's going to be a uphill of issues.
Listen, mine was uphill issues. First of all, I couldn't get the one-time PIN. All of a sudden, they're no longer sending one-time pins to telecom users. So now I had to change my cell number to a friend's number just to get the one-time pin. Then I paid, but then I couldn't get a booking at a branch to go do biometrics. Eventually, I booked it like, I think I went to like the center of town and then did biometrics there and then had to go collect it. But then there was like a six-hour long line to collect it. It was a terrible experience. But As I opened up the book and I saw I only have to renew in like another 10 years, I've never been happier in my... It's like literally like going to the shops and buying an ice cream type of happy.
Oh, I
like
love
just joy.
I love that for you. I think that's just absolutely... struggles that I don't think I'm going to relate to anytime soon. But yeah, so besides moving into your new place, have you done a housewarming yet?
I don't even have a table or chairs. Like, when I tell you I moved in last Wednesday,
no,
I didn't have anything. Like,
guys, that's the whole point of a housewarming, so that you get things for the place. And we see that, okay, you know, Flax has moved into this nice apartment. He's still starting out. Like, it mustn't be all glitz and glam, because then what are we going to buy you?
Very true. There's like certain things that I really want, like I keep losing my keys and I really just want something to hold my keys as I walk in the door. I want the small things in life, like a doormat and like a key holder.
Yes. Yes. I don't believe in buying people like big things for their place because, you know, you're going to see that every day. And what if that's not your aesthetic? But I definitely believe in like buying them the small things that they wouldn't think of, like the house mat or, you know, a plant if they're into plants. I don't know, like a bottle of wine as well. Okay, that's not a proper gift. But like, it's
like you bring a bottle of wine to someone's house and you're like hoping they're going to open it at the same time.
Yes, you're like, this is my drink that I bought for myself. I'm just using you as an excuse to drink it.
I must say, one thing the previous owner didn't tell me about this house was it's like, BYO everything. So like bring your own electricity, bring your own water. There's like never water in this area. They're fixing the pumps. So I had to get a guy to come put in a JoJo tank for me. Otherwise I'm 3 days without water. There's never electricity. I have load shedding for 7.5 hours a day. That's like ridiculous.
Oh, wow.
House on top of a mountain and cut the electricity and water and say, here we go, Flax. Enjoy life. Oh, it doesn't sound so bad.
But you're going to enjoy it. You know, you're going to enjoy the peace, your space. You're going to enjoy the fact that you get to kick people out. I don't know if you're much of a cook, but if you enjoy cooking or baking, you're going to be in that kitchen, you know, for most days.
Can I introduce you to the greatest thing invented since like Netflix?
Tell me. Spring it on me.
By the term and like go out and purchase one today or like wait for Black Friday. every household in South Africa should own this device, and it's called an Instant Pot. You can cook in it. You can fry in it. It then turns into a pressure cooker. You make stews in like 20 minutes. You can make like lamb that falls off the bone in literally 30 minutes. It is the greatest invention since the light bulb. Okay, that might be a bit dramatic, but it is a really good invention.
Wait, what? So it's instant
phenomenal
pot. And you can do everything. How big is it?
Maybe like 20 centimeters deep and like the normal width of like a pot.
Okay.
And as Congo Chris says over here, and I have to agree with you over here, instant pot is better than an air fryer.
What? Oh my word. That is breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pity Lebang is not here to defend herself against these accusations about the instant pot being better than the air fryer. What?
It's just, you can make the stews, you can make the rice, you can make, there's just everything you can do in an instant pot. Before you put the lid on, it's now like a fryer. Not a fryer, like a normal pan where you can just like shallow fry and saute meat and onions, etc.
So Tracy over here is saying that the instant pot is a pressure cooker. So I know what a pressure 100%. Cooker is. Okay.
No, spot on. Tracy, spot on. But the thing is, it's only a pressure cooker in my eyes once you put the lid on. If the lid's not on, you can still saute like it's a normal like frying pan. Oh. And it has the saute function. What's like in your house? It's like something you think is the bee's knees.
I don't know. I have an ice cream maker. And I think...
Ice cream maker.
Yes, I have an ice cream maker. I have a waffle maker. I do want to get a donut maker. And I think those are the only things that I need in my life. Like, I don't like cooking. I really don't. I know how to cook, but I don't enjoy it. But I enjoy baking. And I also love ice cream. Ice cream is the answer to everything, y'all. So I got myself an ice cream maker and I make myself ice cream.
My brother now makes ice cream. He literally makes ice cream, like maybe like 7-8 different flavors. And he's selling it in Joburg and selling it in Cape Town.
Okay, so that's what I need to do with my life. Start selling the ice cream I make. Thank you so much, Flax. I did not know that that would be a side hustle.
Get your phone on you. You've got to go check how dope this is. He's like proper making gelatos and he's importing it from like Italy. He imports the mixture from Italy and everything. It's called, I'm going to give him a shameless punt over here.
All right. But if it's not like we can stop Instagram, you.
Yeah, I'm doing it. Go on Instagram and follow him. It's Omio Gelato. So it's O-H underscore Mio, M-I-O underscore Gelato, G-E-L-A-T-O. And you can see the dopest ice creams that he's making. And he started it in Joburg. He first started bringing in the mixture and like testing, started it in Joburg. And now people in Cape Town are wanting it. So he figured out the logistics and he now sells it to Cape Town as well. There, Ryan James Tinlin has now put up the link to his Instagram page. Oh my God, that was so quick.
Oh wow, shout out to you, Ryan.
But yeah, it's very cool. Very, like we're heading towards ice cream season.
Yes.
And like there's some key players in the market and he's really coming in hot.
Okay. I'm definitely gonna try him. Definitely going to give that a try. It is Friday, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm curious to know what are you gonna be up to, Flax, this weekend?
Oh, I'm going to the bush this weekend, eh? Ooh. I'm very, very excited. Yeah, I don't know what to expect because it's a bit, it's 100% the bush, but it's too close to home to think I'm going to see the maddest sightings. I'm going to Dinokeng.
Okay, where's that?
Dinokeng's about an hour and a half drive from Johannesburg. If I'm correct, it is just past Pretoria. But the thing is, they have the big five. Ooh. So I don't think it's going to be like a Kruger or a Madikwe, but I think I'll probably see like your common animals. But I'm very excited. I need a getaway. This week, I don't know about you, but this week has been like 4 weeks in one. I feel like everyone decided from next week or like from next month, we're starting to slow down and relax for the end of the year. And everyone just jam-packed it now into this week. Like work was hectic. The move was hectic. It was just, I need a break. I proper need a break.
Ooh,
and you?
So there's this weekend is quite packed. My best friend is getting lobola'd tomorrow, so I'm excited about that.
Wait, explain how that works.
So what essentially what happens in the black community is that we don't really have an engagement, right? So what happens is that if I'm dating you, Flex, you'll write a letter to my family that you'd like my hand in marriage. And then my family will pick a date when your family can come to kind of negotiate my worth, I would say. But that's dowry as we... That's another term for it. Mm-hmm. And they'll pick a date. Your family will come to my place. They'll have conversations on how much the lobola should be. There's a bit of a back and forth. And once they've agreed on amount and they leave like some sort of deposit or pay most of it or all of it, you are then married because the groom can then take the bride. So it's almost like and what tends to happen is that people like split it up into two. So they'll do the initial ceremony where they're first doing the negotiations. And once they've agreed on a price and they've kind of paid like a deposit, it's a small lunch. And then when they come back to pay off the rest of the amount, that's when they start doing like the traditional wedding so that the groom can fetch the bride. And basically that's what's happening this weekend where my friend is getting lobola'd. And because she's still young, they're kind of going to do a very small intimate lunch and then they'll do like the traditional wedding a bit later. So I'm excited about that. And so that's Saturday. And then Sunday, I might be attending.
Oh, wait. I got so many questions on this.
Okay.
So it's the groom's family paying the new soon-to-be wife's family.
So yes, so it's kind of like a twofold thing because ilobola essentially at the beginning was to thank the family on raising such a good woman, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost like he who finds a wife finds a good thing, right? And then that money is actually supposed to go towards the wedding, depending on which culture you're in. Right, that will go towards the wedding. But nowadays, it's kind of a bit of a scam because what happens is that the bride's family will charge like R1 million, and then they'll all like eat it, like they'll split it up and just live their best life, and nothing goes towards the wedding and the gifts that you have to get. So, it's a long process. So, what will happen is, they will negotiate. There's certain things that they look at. So they look at the fact if you have a kid or not. They look at the fact, if we're going old school, if you're a virgin or not. They look at the fact if you guys stay together. They look at the fact if you can cook or clean.
And this makes it more the lobola higher.
Higher or lower. So let's say, for instance, I have a kid out of wedlock and you want to now marry me. They'll use that to say, okay, cool, you guys, because people will state their amount. So, for example, if they say, we want 50,000, then the groom's family will be like, but she has a kid, so minus 5,000, you know? And then they'll be like, but she can cook and, you know, she does everything. So they need to explain, like, it's a proper negotiation of, you know, like, oh, you know, she can do X, Y, Z, or she can't do X, Y, Z. And the thing is, it's kind of almost about reputation. If they know that you've been around, then they decrease the money. If you are, the Virgin Mary, then it's an increase in the money. And then also certain people get thanked. So in the lobola negotiation, they'll say, okay, cool, maybe the final amount is 30,000, for example. And then they'll be like, but your mom, the bride's mom, must get a gift. The bride's dad must get a gift. And maybe
out of the lobola.
No. That's separate. Now that's separate. That is a separate thing. So
is there like a mediator? So like a priest or someone will mediate this?
It's the uncles. So traditionally the uncles, your uncles and my uncles will get together. So they will then discuss and they will do the back and forth. Traditionally there is no woman part of the lobola negotiation, but now as times have changed and a lot more women are coming into the forefront. So when my sister was getting lobola'd, my gran was in the room and my aunt was in the room and the groom's mom was also in the room. And then with the other uncles, of course. And then they have a conversation, you know, about what's going to happen, how is it going to go, who gets what is the gift for the aunt, what's the gift for, and the gifts of people that have raised you. So it's essentially saying thank you for raising such a great human being.
And it only works one way, from the groom to the wife's
no,
family.
No, so also so what will happen is that we will also thank, as the bride's family, we will also get gifts for the groom's family. But it's specific gifts. So we will say the uncle's going to get this, the mom's going to get a blanket, and da-da-da-da-da. So there is an exchange of gifts. Not of the lobola amounts, but of gifts, there is an exchange.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
Yes.
That's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. So it can be like a process and a half. Sometimes it's smooth sailing. And the trick is, I've noticed, is that if you and I were getting married, I need to go talk to my uncles and be like, yo, this man can only afford 25,000. Anything else?
Oh, like,
yes. Because what they tend to do is that they'll be like, but he just bought a new house and he drives this car and he has a job. Therefore, he's earning 50 million, we're going to charge him R1 million. And they don't realize that, you're just a regular oak, dog. So, yeah.
Hectic. What is it, like an average, or just fluctuates nonstop?
It fluctuates. It depends how much you guys are comfortable with. There have been people that have paid R1 million for ilobola. There's been people that have paid R10,000 for ilobola. So it depends on your family and the structure in which you guys negotiate the entire thing. And it also goes back to your bank account. You know, what have you saved up for in this ilobola negotiation, you know, type of vibe.
Yeah. There's lots of questions coming through. Where's Gareth? And that could be a trending hashtag for the day.
Where's Gareth?
That the storm last night has made him oversleep or blown his electricity. But as soon as he's up and about, he'll join us. We're just hypothesizing at this point in time, but you're welcome to go start the hashtag on Twitter.
With Gareth. we'll see what time he joins the show, if he joins the show. So that's going to...
He'll definitely join the show. I feel like Gareth, he has an internal clock that even if he misses his normal alarm clock, by like 6:37, he's still waking up. Like, he'll be here.
He is.
I really want him to do that. You know, it's the weekend, baby. Mm-hmm. Like, that would get my day going. If he does like the original, like the proper lean back, come in for it, that'll make my day.
Now lean back. When you said lean back, I thought of a song. Lean back. Now lean back. Now lean back. Yeah. But that's what's happening tomorrow. And then Sunday, I might be attending a funeral. It's my sister's father-in-law who passed on. So I might be attending.
My condolences.
Yes. So it's quite a busy weekend. In terms of like Saturday, I'm starting on a high. Woo! And then like Sunday, it's kind of a bit of a low.
But funerals are different in every culture. And I've heard of, so we don't do, in the Jewish religion, we don't do the wake, mm-hmm. which is more like a, am I correct in saying it's like a celebration of the person's life?
I wouldn't say, you know, I wouldn't say that we have like a celebration. We just have after tears, which I also find a bit disrespectful. Because
is that when there's food and drinks and stuff?
No. Well, technically. So what happens with us is that the ceremony will take place. We'll go to the graveyard and we'll lay you to rest. And then afterwards, everybody who attended will get food. And they'll kind of then just chill afterwards. And what happens is that people tend to then like in that space bring alcohol, and then it turns into a party afterwards because they're celebrating. After tears, they're celebrating that person's life. And I'm just like, y'all, there's people that are mourning.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, different cultures have different ways of doing things.
Yes.
When you guys sent me the guest for today, I got so excited. We got Nick Rabinowitz coming on later on.
Yay!
That man. I know we know him. So I'm like at the point in my life where like, I don't care about celebrities and I don't care how wealthy people are. I just care if they do charity. What I doubt you know, Nick Rabinowitz does so much charity. Like, he's a proper good oak. Like, even with being a celebrity and being famous and being hilarious. He's like one of our best comedians. He does a lot of good for the world and for South Africa. He does a lot of charity.
I love that. So yeah, I see Rebellious Ruth up in here is saying that who's celebrating Halloween this weekend or going to a party? Going to a party.
It is Halloween this weekend.
Costume shops all weekend trying to fulfill my child's inner serial killer. Oh my word. Is that a thing? Do we celebrate Halloween? Is that a thing?
I feel like it is still a thing. I saw, first of all, it's like a big thing in schools. I saw like the cutest photos of like dads dressing up with their kids and that. So I think that tradition's cool. I think I would say if I was in Joburg this weekend, I'd try celebrate Halloween. I think it's like one of those fun holidays. I have no idea the backstory behind Halloween. There's like certain things I will do on Halloween, like go to a party and that. But then there's like crazy things I've seen people do. Like they will go to a graveyard and like there's a tour of a graveyard at like midnight. You will not catch me doing that in my lifetime. Graveyards scare the living hell out of me.
Yeah, even me. Yeah. I don't like going to like the grave and jail, even during the day. I don't know that in SA it's a thing. I thought it was still very much an American holiday, or is it even a holiday or a celebration? I don't know what the hell it is. And I don't know when we adopted it, but to all those that are celebrating Halloween, let us know how you're going to be dressing up, what character you're going to be in. And if you're going to a dope ass party, you know, hit me up.
Take a photo, tweet us at cliffcentral.com.
Yes. You know, maybe even send through an invite if there's single bachelors. Let's get into some headlines. Let's do one or two. So
what's happening in the news?
What is happening in Joburg? Pride will go on as city calls on residents not to panic over terrorist warning. I don't know if you saw this, Flex.
This has to do with the terrorist threat on a large gathering in Sandton on Saturday.
Yeah.
I felt like if you're going to dish out news like that, get the full story. Like, don't start scaring everyone. Everyone's got to try and predict what's happening. Like, if you were able to get half the story, just put in the extra effort and get the full story. You're the U.S. Embassy. You guys know what's happening next Tuesday. Like, get the full story. Dish us with the full story instead of sending the whole of Johannesburg into panic.
I know, right? So the article says that the Johannesburg Pride March will go ahead as planned this weekend. This event was in limbo after a security alert from the U.S. Embassy about a possible terrorist attack in Sandton. The city of Johannesburg has urged residents not to panic, but to be vigilant. Okay, so that's what you guys have to do.
I'm very happy it's still going ahead because you never know what the threat was or who it was against, and things must continue. And I do think we need to just upgrade security at that venue this weekend. Like, at the U.S. Embassy, since you reported on it, give us a couple U.S. Marines to come and watch over the event, or like get SAPs involved, like get a helicopter in the air, like just get extra security so no one gets hurt. We shouldn't be stopping our lives, and definitely shouldn't be victims.
Have you ever attended Joburg Pride?
I did. I did it for Cliff Central once.
Ooh,
it was the biggest jewel ever. Honestly, go. I'm not in Joburg this weekend, but go. Everyone go to Pride this weekend. It is going to be
Vibe? I've like, never attended. I always see kind of like the posts on social media, and I'm just like, oh, Chad, you look like you're living your best life.
Everyone dresses up. Everyone's friendly. Everyone's there for a good time and a vibe. You like meeting new people, taking photos. I was interviewing people there. Ooh. It's a proper jewel. Like, I went to Pride once in Italy. Ooh. Let me tell you, it was the equivalent of like what are those big festivals we have? Like a Coachella.
Okay.
It was the biggest jewel I've had. I think I partied till like 3 a.m. It was like an outside venue. There was DJ after DJ, a proper vibe. I dig it.
Hectic. Okay, you've definitely convinced me that next year I need to go and attend Joburg Pride. Like, sounds like a vibe, and I'm all about, like, great vibes. In other news, we also have Prince Harry's memoir to be called Spare. Okay? So, Spare. Yeah. Like, spare part, spare. Mm.
Oh, why is he calling his memoir Spare?
I have no idea. The book by Prince Harry will be titled Spare and will include his full account behind his decision to give up royal duties and move to the USA.
That's
he is dishing out the tea and I'm here for it. I think I might just soak that up. Like, tell me what happens in that royal house. Tell me, you know, what the late Queen Elizabeth II did to you and how she traumatized you and how the death of your mom, you know, has left you feeling like you can't trust these people. And now you have to go to America. Tell me. I'm going to soak it up.
Struggle is real.
No, I really want to hear.
An electrician later to fix a lot, but you get that first class ticket to USA.
Yeah, I know, right? And you're going to write a whole book. Like, wow, this is amazing. Like, between him and his wife, they really are milking this royal, like, affair and what's going on and just, like, and I'm here for it. I want to hear. I want to hear how they've been so hurt and traumatized. And, you know, they're just one of us, Flex. They have the same struggles that you and I have. I really do want to hear all about it.
To fix a lot.
Yes.
Are you seeing some of these comments on why it's potentially called Spare?
Tabo says, yeah, that sounds appropriate. He has a spare. He is.
maybe it's like he's the spare heir. So, like, if things go really bad and there's no one left, we got a spare in the USA, not in the tool shed. We got a spare in the USA. We can just bring him back.
Yes. Conker Chris over here says he's calling it spare because he's Meghan Markle's spare wheel.
Oh, I do miss Meghan Markle in suits, eh? Oh. She was one of my favorites.
Do you still like her? You know, that's Gareth's favorite person.
Would you rather... Wait, did you watch Suits?
Yes, I did.
Would you rather Meghan Markle stay on Suits or be the wife of a royal?
Well, I didn't really... And as much as I enjoyed the show, I wasn't following her outside of her personal life. So I think her, you know, marrying into royalty has been something that's really made us take notice of her besides her being an actress. And she's really is living the Cinderella story of meeting her Prince Charming. And I would almost say living her best life, I think. But I love how they met. They met through friends, you know, and I think that's the moral of the story, that guys, if you know a prince or you know anybody that's up there, please introduce them to me, you know, and I'll do the rest.
You're talking like proper princes, eh? Yeah. Not like someone that just calls himself prince.
Yes, like, you know, if you know somebody of royalty, you know, that comes from a family that just, there's a whole lot of generational wealth, definitely introduce us. Don't be scared to introduce your friends to other people, because look, that's how she met Prince Harry, and boom shaka boom, they are married, living their best lives.
Yeah, they went straight into scandal because, like, the news broke and then it's like Meghan Markle's leaving Suits, then her dad got involved and dad's like hasn't entered the picture for years and now he wants a comment, then he's doing documentaries trying to rein in the cash over here. That was like proper. Who's the other brother married to? What's his vibe?
Kate Middleton. Middleton.
Yes. There we go. Kate Middleton.
Yes. She's great. She's very, like, hush-hush. She met with him, got with him. And we've not really heard much. No, like, I mean, come on. They had to date before they got married. So they got together and they got married. And she doesn't really appear in the headlines. You know, She's just blended into the family very, very well. So,
do you know, like, it's like a big thing for, like, meeting the parents. Imagine your parents are like king and queen of the land. And now you've got to like, it's not like hi, it's like, how do you shake their hand? How do you eat with your knife and fork? Like, there's things you do in front of the queen. Like, if the queen stops eating, everyone stops eating. You're not allowed to carry on eating. Don't know why, but you're not allowed to carry on eating.
I wondered, like, because let's be honest, you know, Caucasians, you guys move quick and in a hurry. After 2 days of dating, you guys are already meeting the parents. Whereas, you know, people that look like me, it's going to take 3 years. I wonder when they decided this is the right time, you know, for me to introduce you to the rest of my family and, show you our traditions.
Headlines. As soon as it's in the headlines, in like the what would you call it, celebrity life or royal life, as soon as it hits the headlines, I think you need to meet the parents, because the parents are going to be like, why am I hearing about this from the tabloids first? I'd be super pissed if I heard it from the tabloids before my own children.
Oh, my word. But like, isn't that pressure? Like, if Flax, if I'm just trying to get to know you and see if this is going to work, and you trying to see if I'm actually about you, introducing me to the queen, is that not putting pressure on this relationship? I don't know.
But I feel like if you are royalty, like, you should be dating for like serious relationships only. There's no like fooling around. So like, if you meet someone, you're like, keep it hush hush for the first like 2 weeks. But after 2 weeks, you're like serious, you know. And you know you want to put in effort here and focus on this person, and you'll introduce her to the queen.
That is true. I did see a question from Robert over here. He said, I have drunk face this morning. Any tips on how to look normal? Were you indulging drunk in Pooza?
Oh, he's got a hangover this morning.
Yeah, he was indulging in Pooza Thursday.
You drop that rehydrate. You put that straight in the water. You stir it 3 times round and you guzzle it. Full sachet. After that, you kind of just hope for the best.
There we go.
That's like my, maybe 2 panados. That's my hangover remedy.
Okay.
Because Friday you can't take a sick day at work, because then you need a sick note. So, yeah, Robert's in a pretty tough place. He's between a rock and a hard place. He's either going to have to continue... Take a sick day, go to a doctor, and then continue the Pusa Thursday straight into a pool Friday, some bezes, and then see Sunday around the corner. Or you're just going to have to walk into work. Everyone's going to see you smell of Brunavane and Coke. Hope that you don't have glitter on your face from the strip club the night before. Flex. And then just hope for the best.
Is this what you've done? Have you ever arrived to the office a bit hanging?
Let me tell you, I've come straight from the club to the studio many, many times. Let me tell you, I used to party with like, once I was doing shots with Jason Derulo at a club, and I came straight to studio, straight from the club. I just smelt of alcohol. I reeked. And I had a sleeper in the, you know, the booth?
Yes.
I slept in there for like 3 hours, and then I still did relax its flats on a Friday. Now, this was my rebellious youth.
Wow, you've lived a life. So people have been asking, where is Gareth? And we've kind of said, you know what, let's make it a hashtag. And they have. Usanele has tweeted, hashtag where's Gareth? Hashtag find Gareth.
Oh my God, imagine like newspapers start calling us. They're like, oh, we just saw this hashtag trending. Can you please comment?
So what are you, and you know, these newspaper publications, they kind of like take things and just go the opposite direction. So it'd be like, so Flack, how do you feel that Gareth is missing? And it's like, we didn't say he's missing, but okay.
I'll be like, no, Gareth overslept this morning. And they'll be like, oh my God, Gareth Cliff's bed caught on fire. He then fell in the pool, drowned. I was like, no, you misquoted. I said he overslept.
Oh my word. Elon is God. What did he say? Oh wait, no.
That's... Oh my God. Can we talk about Elon Musk buying Twitter? How sick is that?
Let's talk like how about he did it. Okay.
If we just go to the pivot of yesterday, when he posted a video online of him walking into the Twitter building with a sink, he got his assistant to go find a sink. And he carried it into the Twitter building and he goes, let this sink in. I've bought Twitter. My G, my gent. Like,
who does
all
that?
Praise our feet. that Elon Musk.
I mean, if you are the, I mean, you spent a couple of billies on it. You should be able to do the whatever you want to do. But I'm interested to see what he's going to get up to now. With Twitter.
Like Oaks say, don't reinvent the wheel. Mm-hmm. My man is reinventing the world. He is reinventing the world. I think it's the coolest thing ever. I'm watching this documentary on YouTube. You got to watch it. It's BBC just released a documentary on Elon Musk, but they go into detail. I'm on episode 3 at the moment. They release it every week. For some reason I can only watch it on YouTube, but it's the full like 45-minute documentary. They interview his dad, Errol, his mom. Like it's proper cool. Go onto YouTube and watch it this weekend. You can also watch us on YouTube. Cliff Central's on YouTube. You can watch us live. You can see our faces, etc.
Yes. At least there's like one pretty face on screen.
Oh, there's two of us. Who are you talking about?
Oh my gosh. I think Vincent over here is saying, unprofessional drinkers, go to work and take the punishment from the hangover.
Oh, I like unprofessional drinkers. That's funny.
Yeah, I've never done that. So I have a rule that during the week I don't drink. So
never?
No. Like at most I have like one glass, at most one or two, but it's, I'm not trying to hang. I think the worst thing is coming to the office and you hanging. Like I get annoyed and I don't think it's going to be a pretty sight when I'm up in the office and someone asks me to do something and I just snap because wow. Yeah, I'm very like, I don't want to be around people. Excuse me?
You wake up. You know, like you wake up, you feel like a fish out of water and you need food. And you're thinking like the greasier, the better. You think these oils are going to just drain up the alcohol. What is your go-to?
I wouldn't say it's greasy.
Don't say KFC. Like everyone goes
No, not KFC because that's like, I'm not feeling great. But what you have to do, let me tell you something, is you have to get food the night before. Right. So that it's cold the next day. Right. I would recommend McDonald's or you get yourself some chicken licking. Those wings with the hot sauce.
Ooh, no, you can't do chicken licking the next day. That's like no.
Flex. Says the man who has 8 mimosas. Keep quiet.
Right. And that's how you deal with a hangover.
And what you do is you buy it as you're gallivanting and painting the town red and you go to bed and the next morning, that's when you eat it. You have your McDonald's, eat the fries when they're still hot, but the burger itself, you have it the next day, heat it up a bit or have it cold. It's up to you, but it slaps, it goes in. You're just like, what? And then the hot sauce, the chicken licking with the hot sauce, I promise you, this, like, I can't stand like spicy thing. No, you heat it. Dude, you heat it up. I promise you.
Turns to, there's certain things that like, there's certain burgers that literally go hard and like stale in like an hour, like a Steers burger. You have to eat that on the spot. Otherwise it's like, it turns into rubber. But I'm loving some of these suggestions here. Ryan James says over here, a Callaway's. Now I've seen the menu at a Callaway's and it looks so extreme. It looks like they've thrown 40 different variations of food into like a sandwich.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like I'm dying to eat it.
Okay. Yeah, okay. He also says he can't do chicken. I promise you, it has to have the hot sauce. The hot, I got hot sauce in my backpack. Hot sauce.
You can't do hot sauce the next day after hangover. Like, you know, your stomach's going to be churning. Like, hot sauce is just literally going to make a situation worse.
No, it's worked. But there's also a plant base is the best. Yeah.
I'm not doing
plant-based. No. Cold vegan pizza.
Meat sweats. Oh my God, Mimos though. Mimos is a vibe.
But cold that vegan, vegetarian, not vegan, vegetarian pizza.
I have to agree with Human Shield over here. Like a cold vegetarian pizza has all the toppings. None of them go hard. The onion's still soft. It's like, it is a vibe. I would smash a cold vegetarian pizza. It's one of the pizzas I always do. Yes. And now everyone's going to choose how I say pizza.
Yeah, of course. Usanele over here is saying another good thing is braai meat. Yes, traditional style. Go get your ass to Myanmar. Yes, yes. Braai meat.
What's Myanmar?
It's actually, I would say, it's one of the first ranks, taxi ranks in Joburg. And it's called Kwai Myanmar. It's right by Mabuneng. If you've been by Mabuneng, precinct, you would have seen. It's kind of like now a tourist attraction place. But back in the day, it was one of the first taxi ranks in Johannesburg. And that's what it's known for.
Where they have the thrift shop as well.
No, I haven't seen that. It's just like you can see there's a bunch of taxis. It's a bunch of taxis. And it's like you walk in and they braai meat. And it's very like operational, but also tourists and people enjoy some braai meat. In fact, iskopo, which I've never had. And yeah, you just have... Excuse me?
Isn't iskopo sheep?
It's a head. It's the head of the animal. No, of an animal. Iskopo is the head of a...
I've had it.
Have you?
Mine was sheep that I had. So I thought it was only sheep.
No. Oh, okay, and how was it?
No, it's tasty. It's nice meat. Like, okay. I didn't have a lot of it. It was, we were doing something for like another radio station on, what's that? Vilakazi Street.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like famous restaurant over there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were serving it. I think it was called, it was definitely that name, but it was tasty. It was weird to be eating head of like an animal. I've never eaten that before, but it was good to try it.
That's an experience I'll never have, fun fact, because it's...
Wow, let's go jab.
No, women don't eat iskopo.
Is it like a tradition thing?
Yes.
Why can't women eat it?
Because they say that it's for the for men, and it helps in the bedroom. So that's why the iskopo is for men.
Yeah. You're telling me sheep head gets you horny?
Well, I wouldn't say horny, but they say the tongue, y'all. There's something in that tongue. But yeah.
Joburg just sold out a sheep tongue this weekend and everyone's having kids.
But yeah, that's a good one. New
aphrodisiac is launched in South Africa. Sheep tongue. Get your horny on.
Oh my God. Rebellious.
Jesus. What have I just done? What did I miss? Holy shit.
Trending on Twitter. Where's Gareth?
Yes, there's articles that are going to be written about you, Gareth. Where are you? Does something happen? Is it the tequila you're talking about yesterday?
I wish. I mean, like, then I'd at least have a story, but no, it's just like completely stupid oversleeping. It's so embarrassing.
Oh, it happens.
How stupid. No, dude, it hasn't happened for so long, and I'm so embarrassed. It's, like, ridiculous. Anyway, thank you, Simpiwe, and thank you, Flex, for holding on to things for the last hour. Exactly. Let us take a quick break as I come straight in.
Yes.
And we will be back with the next hour of the show. Stick around. Lots of good shit happening. Thank you for looking after things for the last hour, guys. Really appreciate it. And we will be back now. CliffCentral.com.